Hi, this is Jack Williams, and you're listening to Legends of Table Talk.
Hey, everybody, this is John.
And this is Vince.
And you're listening to Legends of Table Talk.
Creating legends one die at a time.
Hey everyone, this is Death Watch, brought to you by GM Don Steele. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn on over him before we do intros.
Good evening. I'm Don Steele, as Neil just said, and we're running the second half of Oblivion's Edge. Should make that sound as badass as possible. Let's go through and remind everyone who is playing who. We'll start tonight with our elected team leader, Brother Lucian.
I'm Tad Norioyama from the forums, playing Brother Lucian, team leader, team Ultramarine, team Apothecary, and team Rule Specialist. I'd like to remind you gentlemen that this is a Codex operation. There will be no hair pulling, no unauthorized groin kicking, and all over depositors are to be severed in the proper manner.
I didn't know there was a Codex specification for severing ovipositors.
There is a Codex specification for everything.
Okay. That's excellent.
I'm going to fail on this groin regulations for sure.
Unfortunately, he's wearing a power armored nut protector. Brother Sephiron.
That's Freaky from the forums, and I'll be blowing shit up.
Boy, you couldn't get any more concise than that. Brother Skulp.
Hi, this is John H. from the forums, playing Brother Skull, the Death Watch Tactical Marine, and I'll be standing behind Neil and all of his extra armor tonight.
And Brother Zada? Or is it Zeta?
Either way.
Okay.
I don't really remember how I pronounced it last time, but I'm Mike Ryo from the forums, and I'll be playing Zeta, the Assault Marine.
And Brother Zahariel.
I'm Neil. I'm Brother Zahariel, a Dark Angel Tech Marine, and apparently doesn't play nice with others, nor with his giant robot arm.
You
Can
have
requisition those?
Returned? No, he's probably still got booze from the governor's mansion.
Yeah.
That's almost gone.
You had a whole bag full of it.
You have returned to the Blade of Drusus. Blade of Drusus. It's the Mars-class battlecruiser that is the flagship of this fleet.
Yeah.
And after, washing off your armor, you report to Master Tactician Hadros, and he congratulates you on a mission well done. And says the time to strike at the Hive ship is now. Many forces have been pulled away. The ground invasion is in disarray, and we are never going to have a better opportunity than this. I have finally convinced Captain Cobb to commit his forces to an all-out assault.
Then so shall it be.
What we need to do in order for this to work, because we are outnumbered in a huge way. We're outnumbered by the Hive Fleet. What we need to do in order to have a chance against it is to destroy the mind link on board the Hive ship. A dedicated group of individuals needs to board the Hive ship, locate the synapse chamber, and kill the link to the Hive Mind.
Sounds like we'll need an elite group of volunteers. Skull, round up some of the men. Oh, wait. Wait, never mind. I've got a better idea.
Hey, wait. Just come here. That's one.
If the opportunity arises on the way to the synapse chamber, I should point out that this battle group is seriously outgunned by the Hive ship and its support ships. Anything you can do to disrupt the Hive ship's internal systems will help us immensely.
We won't leave anything left standing.
Indeed.
I need another rack of cracks. Put my sunglasses off.
Yeah!
Here. Yeah, exactly.
There is always the chance that you may encounter survivors of devoured vessels. that have been consumed by the Tyranid Horde and not fully digested. So any survivors you can recover would be a great boost to the fleet's fighting strength as well as its morale.
You know, as soon as they finish their mandatory psych evaluation.
Yeah.
There's sort of this thing, you know, that being consumed by the High Fleet but coming out alive kind of does to a guy.
Lucian, from your time fighting Behemoth, you realize that the Hive Fleet, or the Hive Ship, is one of the only places where you're going to find a pure sample of the Dagon genus.
Dagon genus, yes.
And if you could find
in the
sample
gene pool
of the genus, that genetic information would be enormous value.
You'd write biotoxin.
Yep. So, these are your goals. Would you like to hear the bad news?
Yes. I want to be able to hit the bad news with my chainsword as well.
The Blade of Drusus does not have any assault boats.
So we're going to have to board manually.
Well, I have had my tech priests convert some of the complement of torpedoes into boarding torpedoes.
That is excellent. I have all faith in your personnel. Brother Zadol, if you would come with me for a moment. between you and me, why don't you check that out real quick? see if that's kosher, will you?
We have three boarding torpedoes. We propose to load you in one and Captain Grayson's platoon in the other two. The three-pronged assault has the best chances of success.
I like where this is going.
I'd like to tell you what I know about the Hive ship's internal structure. We, the Tactica Imperialis, expects that it is quite similar in structure to Imperial designs. The lower levels should contain locomotive control, mid-levels. Where the hell's that information? You know, drives, engines, room in the lower decks, weapons near the prow, along the outside of the hull, and the command structures near the top of the vessel. We expect you will experience very close to Terran normal gravity, and certainly the inside of the ship should be pressurized.
Excellent.
I don't
stupid
plan
Tyranid
on removing my helmet.
Yeah, rule number apothecary's rule number one for going inside the high ship. Everybody keep their damn helmets on. No smoke breaks, scald.
Damn it. I need to get somebody to fix this helmet before we leave.
I can't be expected to go an entire mission without smoking.
Put a chin down.
Some kind of machine.
Okay. Now, you guys are outside the parameters of normal Imperial operation. They cannot order you to take on this mission. But I trust that you're interested.
Are you serious?
Well, sure.
Well, okay. No, we're going to do it.
Okay. After appropriate rest and relaxation period, while the fleet is brought to fighting condition.
Yeah, whoever said they can't order us to do it, we should just punch them in the face.
You reload your weapons again. You reload your ammunition from armory supplies and report to the torpedo room to board your boarding torpedoes.
All right. I want every man to participate in a cool load-up montage while we get ready to go.
Yep.
That's an order.
The anti-ship torpedoes are enormous. There is plenty of room once the explosives are stripped out. There is still a warhead on board, but it's designed for hull penetration, and it shouldn't damage the passenger compartment.
Brother, Brother Zeril, you want to sit up front?
I'm fine where I am. I've already put my seatbelt on, put my stuff under the seat here.
I would, but I've already adjusted my chair, and it would just be, you know.
The claw is holding the pillow just right.
I have my blanket already. I tucked myself in a little bit, so if you don't mind shoving off, Captain.
All right. Boarding torpedoes are loaded and launched.
Yeah.
You are, the torpedoes are being escorted by Fury interceptors, and this is coordinated with a full fleet assault on the Tyranid swarm. At the beginning, the boarding torpedo is relatively peaceful. All you can hear is vox chatter between the Imperial fleet. The ships begin to exchange long-range lance and battery fire. The swarm initially does not take any interest, but as you close, picket ships start to engage. You start hearing screams and shouts over the vox, and then, like a storm crashing over the shore, the fleet is rocked with first impacts of biomatter and corrosive slime. The ship's armor is certainly taking a beating.
Space Marine lullaby, practically.
The torpedo's engines begin to thrum as it fires, the servitors fire rockets to align it with its target. And with the force of an Ogryn pressing down on your chest, the boarding torpedo screams in an acceleration on a crown of fire away from the safety of the fleet.
I take a moment to reflect on how bad an idea this actually is. I'm in a torpedo.
You hear the chatter between Fury pilots as they engage in a rolling dogfight to keep Tyranid ordnance away from your vulnerable transport. It is nearly an eternity in the dark while the void is torn apart by the exchange of fire. Then the torpedo shudders alarmingly. It seems to slow as if passing through deep water, and the hull rings with the sounds of thousands of tiny impacts. There is one last impact that throws you into your crash harnesses, and silence.
I vox to Lucian and say, is this what's supposed to happen?
Let's find out.
Is this going right?
Zeratul, crack the seal. You know, since you've got the arm and everything.
All right, I'll go up and open up whatever we were planning on getting out from.
Okay.
Or if I just have to rip a hole in the wall.
No, you crack the hatch. There's a hatch. It's designed for this. It's near the front of the torpedo, but not exactly in the nose.
Okay.
Okay. You appear to be within the outer skin of the hive ship. It is,
that was easy.
It is kind of like being inside a muscle. It's tight. There's a stringy, bloody series of tunnels that are contracting and expanding at random intervals.
Somebody blunted our torpedo nose.
There are long cords of sinew that snap tight against the walls and ceiling.
This is disgusting.
Pretty much par for the course, really.
You're going to need your chain sword.
Let's do this.
Okay.
I'm going to strap on the missile launcher.
All right,
I walk towards the wall and say, hold on, baby, I'm a doctor.
By the time we're done with this ship, it's going to need some Bengay.
I would accept that as well, yes.
To leave the boarding torpedo, you need to roll agility tests.
Oh, jeez.
I'm good at those. I actually am good at that. 4.
99, my foot gets caught.
Hold still. I'm going to amputate.
99.
No, wait. Yeah, I got 99.
I have 30. I fail it also. 40.
43 out of 40.
Uh-oh.
72 out of 60.
Oh, dear.
Am I the only guy capable of getting out of the torpedo?
I got out. I'm good.
The two of us step out. Follow me, man. And then all of you get out at the same time. So you're now all four of you wedged in the hatch.
It's very Stooge-like.
Okay. Skuld, Sephiron, and Zeta are caught in random... They're caught between the wall and random loops of sinew. Skuld, you took 5 damage.
Damn.
5 wounds. Sephiron, you took 3. And Zeta, you took 2.
Stop, you're stepping on my foot.
All three of you, you're separated. You're pulled against opposite walls. You are all trapped against the wall by the loops of sinew.
Can I reach my combat knife to try to cut my way out?
You can. Or you can make a strength test to be able to pull it out enough to slip out from underneath it.
All right.
I will attempt to saw my friends loose using my reductor adjuster rather than my full-size chainsword, and I will direct Zeratul to pull them away as gently as he can with his giant servo arm.
Okay, make a Medicaid test.
I got awesome. A 17 out of 40 for strength.
Okay,
I get 26 out of 75.
Okay, you cut. Who are you cutting free?
Whoever was nearest to me, so probably Scold.
Okay, well, no, Scold escaped on his own.
Okay, then I'll go back to Zeta.
Okay, Zeta, Lucian comes up and says, hold still, and uses the reductor section on his Narthesium to, as the skilled surgeon he is, cut the sinew that binds you with two quick slashes. You're free. And Sephiroth?
I'll bill you.
I got 27 out of 40.
Okay, you escape as well.
I see that big robot arm coming towards me and say, no, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
That's a powerful motivation you're packing there, brother.
As you navigate slowly, you come across a couple of stormtroopers that have been torn in half by that same action.
What do you mean?
Well, they must have failed their agility test too, but because they're not wearing powered armor, the sinew actually sawed them in half.
Gotcha, okay.
I think we should avoid touching the walls.
If you'd be so kind as to send their remains to the Emperor.
Can we toss them back in the tube so they're not...
I was going to have him burn them with his flamer, but...
Yeah, I mean, okay. I can just flame them.
Okay.
You can put them back together. I need servitors.
Right, you give me the parts, I'll sew them around them. You know, between the two of us, we could probably do a pretty good servitor.
Yeah.
Do you light up the flamer?
No, actually, it seems like a bad idea in a living construct. Do I know that this thing... Can I use Xenos?
Xenos yep. Lore.
Roll it.
Hey, I got 27 out of 50.
35 out of 60?
This is the first time that either of you have been on board a Tyranid ship. You are aware that the Tyranid ship is a living organism. And you expect that any kind of violent action would cause pain and
we'll
provoke
an equal,
a response.
Equal and violent reaction.
Right. If not a reflexive response because you're inside a muscle, it would certainly cause some kind of investigation. Lucian, you theorize that you with the medical tool you used, you were able to make such a surgical strike that you did not provoke a response.
Hmm.
But
well, that's good to know.
Lighting up the flamer or firing bolt rounds into the walls, it's not such a hot idea.
We'll have to leave them for the time being. When we destroy the ship, it won't matter.
Okay. With a little more wriggling and work, you make your way from this section through the outer layer and into the inner layers of the skin. You are presented with a dizzying array of tunnels, ducts, and chimneys going in every single direction.
Are you sure we just can't burn the whole thing?
It's too thick. Tactical said to head down.
All right.
Prepare your climbing gear, man.
Well, they suggested that engines and so on would be down, that control systems would be up.
Ah, that's correct. Prepare your climbing gear, men, but for the other direction. So, yeah, we want to stay away from the pores, which is what I imagine the weapons are manifesting as. So, prepare grappling gear and begin upward momentum.
Let's do it.
Okay, you find the tunnel, the chimney that looks like it goes most upward.
I hope that our grapple harnesses have small enough blades that this is not going to be an issue.
Well, you know, the inside wall here has roughened protrusions. They're too far apart to actually use as ladders, but it's clear that something has been using these for climbing or stepping or... there's toughened areas where you can set hooks and things like that that don't appear to react.
I will take a moment to look at Scold and indicate one of the rough protrusions and say, now see, this is what happens when you smoke. I'm a doctor.
I'll just shake my head.
Okay. You climb. You've been climbing for 5 or 6 minutes, and you pass into a blister, which appears to be transparent. You can see the space battle raging outside, blackness of space torn apart by slashes of lance fire and exploding ordnance.
The more I learn about Tyranids, the more I really hate them.
As you climb through this chamber, the floor below you shudders violently.
I think it knows we're here.
Out of reaction, you all look down out through the transparent blister, and there is another blister nearby. A huge living cannon spits a wad of deadly spores out into the void.
Emperor, I hate these things. That's disgusting. And yet intriguing.
You can continue on your mission. You can investigate this. This is clearly some kind of living weapon.
Well, we should probably destroy this to help the fleet. Have it spitting goo at the fleet.
I'm conflicted. If we divert to destroy the weapon, we may save some soldiers in the space-to-space combat, but if we move to destroy the weapon, we lose time in disabling the larger fleet.
Did that not also charge us with destroying things along the way?
That is true. Let us divert to the gun. Is there a nearby chimney descending?
Not as the one you came up from descends. It looks like the easiest route to get there would be to cut your way through the blister and crawl across the outer skin of the ship.
Yeah, I don't think mag boots work too well on flesh.
In fact, they do not.
And I don't have a jump pack.
No, but one of us does. I've got a better idea. I am going to prepare my reductor. I will tell Zeratul to prepare a crack missile. And directly after, the next time it fires, I will slice a 1 meter sphere, or a 1 meter circle into the bottom of this clear blister using my reductor, and instruct Zeratul to fire into the pustule below us.
Oh, that's pretty slick.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, in order to pull off this maneuver, why don't you guys each roll an agility test?
Nice.
Again with the agility.
Well, just in this case, unless you guys you can think of other things to do, it's just Lucien and Zahariel.
Yeah, I'll wave the rest of you guys further down the tunnel, so in case it collapses, you're not going to go with us.
Oh, I passed, so I'll stay.
Can I just use ballistic skill instead of agility to fire?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you need to roll agility. Ballistics, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I passed mine.
Okay. So your timing is correct.
I got a 27 out of 45.
Okay, blam! And there is a horrible hissing noise as the atmosphere in this section is vented out that 1 meter hole, along with Zahariel's missile, which
just makes it go faster.
Plows into the side of the blister. Why don't you roll some damage?
That's what, 5d10 plus 5 for a crack missile?
4d10 plus 6.
10.
So that's 15, 17, and I re-roll 10s.
Yeah.
38 damage, penetration 10.
Okay, the spore cannon erupts in a sort of like popping a pimple.
Just before the spore cannon erupts, I look down at how close it is and think, maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
Yellowish green glop.
I think I should have been standing over it.
Spray out into the void.
I immediately regret this decision.
No, it's not really a problem. You're not going to get any on you because the atmosphere is still blowing out that hole you made.
Oh.
So, yep. It's not
good again.
Good call. Yeah, I guess we're smarter than I thought.
It is a few minutes and... I assume that after you blow that, you start to climb out.
Yeah.
The bottom of this chamber starts to contract in on itself, and it's sort of eating up the transparent wall, and the chamber starts to collapse.
Double time, man. Double time.
you easily make it out of the top of the chamber, and it stops contracting. If you take a glance down, you'll see that it retracted only to the point where the chamber was sealed. Sort of ate up the hole.
Ingenious.
I'm sorry, what was that? I could have sworn you just said heretical Xenos abomination.
for a bug.
Okay. The chimney that you are climbing through begins to twist and sort of level off, and you're forced to wade through a milky gray liquid. It doesn't have corrosive. It's thick and clings to your armor, but does not seem to affect you in any other way.
So these ships are capable of mating as well?
Mating? So you assume they have to reproduce somehow.
Oh, wow. Brothers and Aerosol, did you bring along any scrap metal? We're going to see if you can make us some surfboards.
As you progress,
I believe we haven't yet discovered hoverboards from the dark age of technology.
You get a wave every now and again, but it's relatively low.
Truly, this is a grim, dark future.
As you press on, the level of the liquid in the chamber begins to rise.
This is disgusting.
And you are now at the point where you have to swim underwater.
I know what I said before, but I don't think this is water.
Right. That's true.
I've also suggested that.
In order to progress now, you're going to have to swim underwater probably 10 or 15 meters. You can see with your helmet stab lights that there's a section here where the tunnel is completely underwater, and then it surfaces further on.
I will take a quick moment to double-check everybody's vac seals.
Yep. A-okay.
Vacuum okay? All right. Brother Scold, you have the best senses. Lead the way.
All right.
Visibility in, that's probably not great. So I will ask everyone to extend a climbing harness cable just in case we get separated.
All right. What sort of check do we need to make? Is this a strength or...
None.
I would imagine perception to find where we're going.
Yeah, you can make a perception check, but you don't need to. Navigating it isn't difficult.
Okay.
There's only one way to go.
Oh, well, if it's a hole, it doesn't matter whether it's dark or light or not, so. Just a hole.
You make your way along it.
I was hoping somebody would take it.
You surface in a vast chamber at the edge of a great lake of bile.
It only gets more disgusting.
On the other side of the lake, there are islands. They rise up towards the roof, and each of them sprouts a towering, lung-like pillar. It expands and contracts in a predictable rhythm.
Oh, man, do I want to shoot this bad.
I just pat the crack round.
Can we make
this may not be the place, but we're in space. What the hell is it breathing?
Right. Can we make Forbidden Lore Xenos to
see
if we can determine this is where we're supposed to be?
I would accept Xenos tests or a Medicaid test.
Medicaid. 35
out of 70. 24 out of 40.
These appear to be spore flumes.
I don't know at all.
Lucien, you identify the objects, the structures as spore flumes. And the people who pass the Xenos tests realize that they operate part of the hive ship's spore shields.
Oh, take them down now.
That fluttering sensation that you felt in the boarding torpedo before you hit the hull was the spore shielding.
Hmm. So then I'll let them know that this is the spore field generator.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should probably take
these out. Zeratol,
yeah,
save your
crack round.
I was about to say, save your ammunition, allow Brother Sephrum to penetrate them with many, many holes.
You can save you just tell by looking, these lung-like pillars look really fragile.
Can we just rip them down then?
You would have to cross the lake.
Yeah, 5 rounds rapid, Brother Sephrum.
Or jetpack across the lake?
Sure.
Yeah, jetpack across that lake.
As long as there's some place to land, I am cool with that.
Yeah, there are, each flume is on a separate island.
Ah, excellent. Then while he's doing that, Brother Sephram, if you would stay on Overwatch, Brother Scold, keep an eye for any unexpected visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular direction?
The lake. We don't know what might come crawling out of it. These Tyranids are just nothing but freaks.
I'll do that.
So I'll pull my sword out and try and jump at the top of the lung and cut it at the top, then land and then jump again, type of thing.
Okay. Roll your attack for the first one. It's like follow the bouncing assault marine.
I make it.
Okay. You spool up the jump pack, leave the ground, engage the chainsword, and take a heroic swing, and blam! The spore flume explodes and hurls you back across the lake and back into... You land at the edge of the lake. Yep.
I didn't see that coming.
You didn't take any damage, but you are with your friends again.
How many plumes are there?
That was one. There are four more.
Brother Sephram, if you would.
I'm going to just start using the bolter. At this point.
Okay.
Because he's going to risk falling into that bile, and I don't want to know what that's going to do to his equipment.
It doesn't appear to be corroding his armor or anything.
Well, that's why I keep telling Brother Sephram to just, you know, unleash one big wave with the heavy bolter and just pop them all.
Zeta stands up. It turns out the bile is about waist deep.
Huh. So how many are there?
There are four remaining.
Four? And what range?
100 meters.
Yeah, if it's less than 100 meters.
No, it's not that much.
Meters,
it's like 50 meters.
Yeah, because the range on a heavy bolter is 120 meters.
Okay, and we have the oath still. I got 48 against 90.
Okay, the remaining four plumes erupt in sequence. Blam, 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 blam.
No, that's music.
You're close enough where you're not thrown to the ground. You're far enough away where you're not thrown to the ground by the successive concussions, but you feel the pressure wave from every single one. Now that the flumes are down, you can see that there's an exit to the chamber on the far side, and you hear noises behind you.
Double time.
To the door.
Come, brothers. There are challenges ahead.
I was going to say, I'll walk backwards and watch behind us as we're moving.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Just as you reach, about half the team is through the exit, and Hormagaunts start to pour out of the tunnel you came in.
For the Zotol, if you would cover us.
They do not seem to have noticed you.
Oh, okay.
We'll give them something to notice.
Oh, I was going to say, it would just be a
I guess we can't exactly collapse the tunnel behind us, so yeah, just run.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll go through last.
I agree.
Yep.
All right, you seem to have made a clean escape. Very nice.
Of course, there's only one exit in this room, right?
Yeah.
So they, you know, will kind of figure out where we've gone.
Yeah.
So, using my medical knowledge, we've tracked from skin to pores to lungs. We're moving in the right direction.
Yes, you have crossed from the outer layers into the inner layers. These appear to be arteries. The nearest human, what's the word? Analog?
Mm-hmm.
The nearest human analog would be arteries that carry blood. These tubes are carrying some kind of nutrient-rich fluid, biomatter, between major sections. You have not seen... As you continue, you do not see as many Tyranid creatures as you saw in the outer layers.
I've read the tales of my chapter brothers who descended into the depths of the fleets of Macrag. I never believed I would find myself here.
Well, here you
should,
are.
Should we sever these transfer units to sow more destruction between the sections.
I'm not sure what the pressure current behind these would be. It's possible do we swept down a tunnel.
Okay.
If this is under any sort of pressure like the biology of the perfect human form, which it could not possibly be, but may come close, then We're maybe it's incredible back pressure from whatever is pumping these fluids.
The surface of the tube that you are walking through has moved from like a ridged muscly surface to a relatively smooth one, and occasionally a peristaltic wave, you know, a narrowing restrictive point ripples along it. It's never close enough where you can't just ride the wave and slip through it. That's what it's like here.
I really hate having to make continual analogies to the human form in here.
Sorry.
places. It's just unholy.
The next chamber you come along is a big chamber. It's wide and it's long, but it's not particularly high. Maybe twice your height. The ceiling is ribbed up to a central point. The room is about 200 meters long, and there are small pods arrayed in circles on the floor. Some are larger, some are smaller.
I will move to a pod and attempt to medically identify it.
I'll try Xenos.
Okay.
I fail by a lot.
53 out of 75 on my Medicaid.
Baby Tyranids. These are gestation hatcheries. Each pod contains one or possibly lots of Tyranid spawn.
Wow. Am I able to determine whether popping it would kill them or simply release them?
Yes. I'm sorry. One of those.
Go on.
Wow. Notice, you do notice that there are big, thick nerve cables that spread out in webs. Although they are arrayed in circles, they all seem to be interconnected. Popping one may release the organism. It may kill the organism. It may release all the organisms.
Do you
I
gamble,
don't think this
brothers?
Is going to help in the fight.
And
how is this going to help the fleet?
Off to the left, there is the largest one of these pods. It is easily twice your height. It goes all the way up to the ceiling.
That does
like look at that. I like that we all agree on that.
Did I mention that the pods are slightly transparent?
No, you did not.
The pods are slightly transparent. When you look through the smaller ones, the ones that are, you know, the height of maybe halfway up your thighs, they appear to be variations on the Gaunt genus, all curled up. So what you see are an array of exoskeleton plates, claws. You don't see any heads or teeth, but you assume that they're all rolled up in there. The big pod kind of ripples occasionally. Whatever is in there is certainly slumbering, but not very quietly. Anytime it moves, you see long blades. Lots of them.
Do you think that's the mother?
It's something. I don't want this at my back, but I don't want to cause a disturbance that we can't, that will cause unnecessary delay either.
Can we plant some sort of motion detectors, a timed bomb explosive to go off?
Yeah. Why don't we just have Zeratul take one of his spare racks, tie it to around that pod, and when it, if it moves to hatch, they can go off.
Everybody roll another Xenos check.
Doing it now. Haha, 25 Ooh. Out of 50.
Ought to.
I made it as well.
Out of 40.
If there were a place where you were going to find a pure strain of the Dagon genus, it would probably be in this room.
I will attempt to identify a place where I might find that.
Perhaps any large one. Any one of these pods.
In that case, I will delicately make use of my reductor.
And one of the smallest ones.
That might trigger a release of all of them.
That's why I'm going to be gentle. Medicaid. Oh. I'm going to use a fate point.
Tell me what you roll.
98. Wow. 74 out of 75.
You.
Wow.
That, my friend, was a wisely spent fate point. You extract the sample. the creature from which you select one of the smallest you can.
Yes.
And you select, you extract a sample, insert your needle, withdraw some fluid, and fill one of your vacant gene seed receptacles. The creature's activity level rises, and the pod changes color from the deep brown up until it starts to fade into yellow.
Nobody breathe.
And waves of brown sort of ripple out from the bottom, and then it turns brown again, and the creature stills.
I think we're okay.
And as you turn away, you kick it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Hey, guys. I did it.
So there are ropey nerve cords all over the floor, but you can, with care, pick your way across the room to the exit.
I will do so. Carefully.
Everybody will follow. Guys,
I think we can go now. Nothing more to see here.
Okay. You make your way out of the hatchery levels. The path you're taking is spiraling up. You feel a constant rumble or constant pulsing in the walls and floor around you. And the tunnel that you're in steadily slopes up. The floor becomes slick with bile or some other foul liquid.
Ugh.
And you emerge into another chamber. This one is the largest yet. You can scarcely see the ceiling. It is so large.
Oh, damn it all.
It is so wide that the far side is lost in sort of a greenish-brown haze. You have seemed to have entered some kind of gargantuan stomach or digestive tract. The air is thick with an acidic mist. The floor is deeply covered in bubbling fluid.
I'm getting real sick of this alien biology. I'm pretty sure in humans that the stomach isn't between the lungs and the brain.
The most promising thing that catches your eye is not the vile, fleshy cavern, but rather its contents. A partially digested Imperial escort occupies most of this room.
Oh my god.
It rises up before you. It is half sunken into the corrosive bile. Its hull is covered in crawling Tyranid horrors. They are eyeless, leech-like creatures that appear to be slowly dismembering the ship. They are, each one of these giant leeches is no bigger than your hand.
Hmm. Can we, I was going to say.
I'm not sure I want to get that close.
Oh, as soon as you light it up, they'll be the ones getting close.
Flamer has a range of like 20 meters.
Yeah, 20 meters ain't that... I mean, do these things look fast? Or are they just little slug things?
They do not look fast at all. They're slow. I mean, when I say they're covered, there's one every 5 or 6 feet. They're all over the ship, but it's not like you can't see the ship underneath them.
Well, I'm not going to be a wuss about it. I'm going to go up and start flaming.
Okay, you have to wade out into the lake.
I'll cover you.
Can I do some kind of test on the lake to make sure it's not going to corrode?
Dip your combat knife in it.
What would you like to do the test with?
My combat knife.
You're just going to
dip it in.
Dip the blade in?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then pull it out and look at it. Yeah.
Okay. You take a small sample of bile with the point of your combat knife. It is bubbling even on the blade. Thin wisps of smoke come up from the blade. After about 30 seconds, you wave the blade through, you know, snap it through the air to shake the bile off, and the end of the blade is etched. Now, it's not etched to the point. You can only tell it's etched because you looked really closely. You would have to, in order for the knife to be seriously deteriorated, you have to leave it in the bile for half an hour.
No, we don't have anything to wash your armor down with while we're in here, though.
Yeah, that's what I worry about.
No, but it's pretty cohesive. It comes right off when you pull something out, the bile runs right off.
Oh, non-viscous bile, huh? Okay. I think we should check it out. We should check that ship to see if there's anything we can use in there. If the ship's been taken whole, there may still be ordnance or power.
Seems to... You can't hear anything distinctive, but your vox seems to crackle a little bit. As if someone a very long ways away were trying to contact you.
Okay, we got survivors then.
Why don't I just hop over to the top of that ship? Where?
Oh, you certainly can.
Stomp on
go for it. Try to land on the leeches.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll just flame them once I'm over there.
You spool up the jump pack, hop over, squish a couple of leeches, and as soon as you make contact with the hull, your vox comes in clearly. And what you hear are panicked people yelling to each other.
Commander, we have survivors.
They're coming through the door! They're coming through the door! I can't hold it any longer!
They say something is coming through the door.
Get them out.
Get those bolters ready.
They have bolters.
Then tell them you're there.
Oh, I'll let them know that they're on the other side.
Who is this? I gotta be going crazy.
This is just a Marine here to save you.
Just a Marine.
That's the Emperor's Angels. No, their humility.
We gotta change channel. We need to change channels. I gotta be hearing things.
I'm gonna light up the jetpack and try and burn off some of those leeches.
Okay. You remember, it isn't flame; it's superheated air. But it is cooking them. Yeah, you crisp up a couple really nicely. If you took off your helmet, it would probably smell delicious like hot dogs.
Yeah. Where's the door to get inside?
There is an escape hatch about 4 feet to your left.
I'll go and indicate that they should open up so we can get out of here.
Oh, since he is in contact with the ship and receiving clear vox, and I can communicate with him via vox, can I communicate with the people in the ship via vox via him?
You want to set up a cross-link? Yeah, sure.
I would ask you to do so.
Yep, you can do that.
I will charm them. Wow, that's close. I roll a 57 out of 60 because of my favorite son bonus.
Okay, what do you say?
This is Apothecary Lucian of Death Watch. Stand away from the door.
Wait. Brother Lucian, this is Captain Godwin of the, why can't I remember these ships' names?
Greetings, Captain Godwin. We're prepared to extract you from your
Captain
current
Godwin of the ship number 3.
Prometheus?
We're holding off against gene stealers who are trying to get in. We can't hold out much longer.
Captain Godwin, which direction are the gene stealers entering from?
We are locked in our wardroom. We've sealed the doors, and they seem to be chewing through them somehow. We need to get out of here.
Agreed. Brother, loose the hatch.
At this point, I'll wade across and start flaming the shit out of it to get rid of the leeches.
It's not too much trouble.
Yeah, I think we're underestimating the size of this thing, too. They're probably inside the ship.
I realize that now, too. This must be a huge ship.
Yeah, well, it's an escort vessel. It's a couple of hundred meters long.
Yeah, I mean, Imperium ships are just, like, ridiculously massive.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah.
From what you can see, there's a lot of it that's underwater.
I mean, if you remember the Rogue Critter games, like, those transport vessels move, like, 500 guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is probably crewed by 200, maybe.
Yeah. So, crack the hatch. The rest of us can sprint across the bile and leap in.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Okay, you
And when I say crack the hatch, I mean open it up and then secure the perimeter. Don't just, you know, open the door.
Right.
You can open the exterior access hatch. There doesn't appear to be anything here.
All clear, sir.
There's a passage below.
All right, once we get out there, I will request Brother Scold.
Although, Zeta, you notice when you open that door, there is a rush of pressurized atmosphere that comes out. And you're not sure, but you think you might have felt the ship shift a little bit underneath your feet.
I don't know what Forge World built this thing, but they earned their money.
If you wanted me to take a look, I rolled a 27 out of 72.
Yeah, well, I wanted you to wanted you to try and track any human signatures that might still be in the area, since you're, you know, a wolf.
Right. All right, well, it's still the same, 27 versus 72.
Okay. Once you're inside the ship, there's human sign everywhere. Up, down, left, right. Standard Imperial signage indicates that the officer's wardroom is towards the stern. In this case, the stern is uphill.
Okay, draw the bolter and follow my nose.
Chainsword and bolt pistol.
Okay, there are you hear chittering, slashing, grunting, clacking sounds.
Space Hulk formation, brothers, close range weapons.
Okay,
they're around the next corner, you expect you are going to see the Gene Stealers. That you recognize the noise. You've been fighting them in Avalos.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.